Get ready to dive into the whirlwind world of America's sweetheart, Taylor Swift. Join us on the podcast, Taylor Swift Today, for your dose of all things Tay-Tay. From all the scoop on her highly anticipated album, The Tortured Poets Department, to the latest gossip, tours, and more, it's time to shake off the haters and embrace the enchanting universe of Taylor Swift. Follow Taylor Swift Today, your ultimate Swift-obsessed podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Johnny Mag with your daily comedy news in the category of funny, not funny, funny, not funny. Michael Ian Black tweeted, well, at least now there can be a sequel to the HBO Chernobyl miniseries. Trevor Noah talked about gas prices and said, luckily, America produces a lot of its own oil. There's Texas, there's Alaska, and there's Rudy Giuliani, but it's still not enough. Like, if this keeps up, the next Fast and Furious movie would take place on public transportation. I would watch the hell out of that. Fallon, gas prices are so high, parents are like, all right, kids, we're Amish now. Let's get in the buggy. We're taking the horse to school. Gas prices are so high, Americans are just filling their cars with Red Bull and hoping for the best. James Corden, on the bright side, this is the perfect excuse to pretend you're getting back on the bike you bought mid-pandemic and rode twice. I wanted to buy a new bike during the pandemic. I couldn't find one. Plus, they were expensive, but never mind that. I couldn't find one. The Daily Beast dove deep on Stephen Colbert's monologue. Stephen said, now, some of you may not have noticed, but I'm a comedian. He said he has many comedy idols, including Steve Martin, John Cleese, and Elmo, but I've got a new comedy idol. And my new comedy idol is Volodymyr Zelensky. He was discussing the photo where Zelensky revealed that he was in the presidential offices and basically defying Putin. Colbert said, that is so brave. I'm personally inspired by his example. Colbert then said about himself, Vladimir Putin, I am not afraid of you either. If you're looking for this comedian, I'm at the Ed Sullivan Theater on Broadway in Manhattan 5 hours ago. We pre-taped the show, and my name, sir, write this down, is James Corden. Amy Schumer, Regina Hall, and Wanda Sykes are hosting the Oscars for some reason. They've released their first promo. In it, Wanda Sykes says, we just have to do better than last year's host. Amy Schumer chimes in. That's the thing. Totally. It's a competition in that way. The group then struggles to come up with the name of the apparent host. Schumer says, God, they must have sucked. However, Hall comes to the rescue and she remembers that last year there was no host. Wanda Sykes says, boom, we're already winning. Now, they performed it much funnier than I read it, but it wasn't funny at all. I don't know, man. All right, let's deep dive on this Amy Schumer PR piece disguised as an article in The Hollywood Reporter. I want to directly address Amy Schumer's publicist. You have earned your money. This article is like, wow. So let me preamble on this first paragraph here. It is so serious that I want to mock it, but because of the topic at the core, I don't want to mock the topic at the core. So I'm mocking the writing style, not the topic, okay? I'm not a jerky face on the topic, but I am a jerky face on how serious this article is. From The Hollywood Reporter. Hey, crazy time, right? Lot going on. Her post began in June of 2020. The pandemic was raging, as was the Black Lives Matter movement. But Amy Schumer hit pause on parenting and protesting to praise the many women who'd come forward with stories of misconduct at the hand of comedians in particular. Earlier that week, Chris D'Elia had become the latest to trend on social media with several women alleging sexual impropriety, which the comic denied. There are great men out there, she wrote to 11 million on Instagram and a few million more on Twitter. And there are men who humiliate and abuse women and girls because of a power dynamic, because when they were that age, girls wouldn't talk to them. Again, I am not mocking the underlying topic, just the writing of this article is like, whoa, okay, Amy's hosting the Oscars and you're promoting Life and Beth. I get it. They fast forward to Amy Schumer's hotel room in early February. The article says she sprawled out on a couch. Amy Schumer says, it's all been really sad and disappointing, and I don't think the coercion and the taking advantage and the masturbating in front of people is cool, and I don't think those guys should be allowed to come back. In recent years, Schumer has watched her venues shrink from 15,000-person arenas to 5,000-seat theaters and has been pillared from all corners of the internet. Amy says, and the male comics are mad at you and mean to you, and it doesn't feel good when those were your friends, but also F them. I'm no expert in selling comedy shows, but my take as a definite watcher of this industry, and I've been programming comedy on radio and the internet since 2004, Amy was red hot, white hot, had her moment, had Inside Amy Schumer, then got that ridiculous Spotify podcast deal for a podcast nobody cared about, and she was overexposed for a couple minutes there, and the material was okay. It's like a band with a hit single. She had her it moment, and yeah, it cooled off a little. That's why you shrank from 15,000 to 5,000. Continuing with the Hollywood Reporter, Schumer didn't break her way into a boys' club to let it continue on unchanged, and as the first and only female comic to ever headline Madison Square Garden, which for the record she sold out, she feels she's earned the right to speak her mind, and now after a prolonged period of hibernation, at least by her standards, she's re-emerging with a deeply personal Hulu series, Life and Beth, blah, blah, blah. Now this article, The Publicist, good job, you earned your money. They got Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld to sing their praises about Amy. Chris Rock said, she's really, really ridiculously honest and she's fearless. She's also as funny as any person walking the earth. The reporter continues, early on when Schumer was just a young comedian trying to get noticed in a man's business, talking graphically about sex, often in heels and tight clothing, became as much a tactic as it was a crutch. It was her way of sneaking in. It was successful, particularly in those open mic days when the crowds were packed with male comics who, in her estimation, were so ready for the girl not to be funny. Schumer shudders now at the length she went to fit in with the guys, but says she needed to surprise them into laughing, and she knew how. Still, labeling her as a sex comic didn't give her nearly enough credit. Let me jump in. Amy Schumer's first album was released in 2011. It's called Cutting. Here are some tracks on that album. Track 2, Masturbating. Track 3, Cockblock. Her second album, Live at the Apollo. Track 8, Happy Ending. Track 13, Men Only Want One Thing. And track 14, Sex Acts. Still, labeling her a sex comic didn't give her nearly enough credit. It was also arguably sexist. Amy said, I feel like a guy could get up here and literally pull his penis out and everybody would be like, he's a thinker. By the time she rolled out her Comedy Central sketch show Inside Amy Schumer 2013, those feminist messages had become so explicit that the series and its viral send-ups, including a pitch-perfect parody of 12 Angry Men featuring a panel of famous jurors trying to determine if Schumer was hot enough for TV, earned both an Emmy and a Peabody. That is a great sketch. Great sketch. Had Trump not been elected president, leaving an increasingly in-demand Schumer totally depressed and without anything to say with her sketch show. She insists she would have continued with its already ordered fifth season. Instead, Comedy Central's then head Kent Alterman offered his prized talent the kind of arrangement Larry David had on Curb. We told her, anytime you want to come back, we're here. I believe I met Amy Schumer once. And I know I met her once. I'm trying to think if I've met her more than once. She hosted, we did a broadcast at SiriusXM honoring Carol Burnett, and Amy was the host for that one. And she was perfectly professional. I have no issue with Amy. I enjoy her comedy. My take here today is just, wow, I see what The Publicist is trying to do. We're trying to reposition Amy Schumer. We're promoting Life and Beth. We're getting ready for her to go next level with the Oscars. We're leaking to Page Six every now and then that she's out with Selena Gomez. All I'm saying is, I see what we're doing here. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing? Now, a week ago, I was feeling great. Was feeling kind of refreshed. This week, kind of worn down a little bit. I had to go see a bunch of people, been running around. You know, sometimes you just want to sit in the chair and watch some television, right? It could be easy to ignore your social battery. You spread yourself too thin. I kind of did that last week, but like it was good for me. You know, I want to see my friends, but I'm human. So I both want to see my friends, but I also just want to sit in the chair and watch some TV. You know what I'm saying? What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Do you thrive around people or maybe you need some alone time? For me this week, it's alone time. Well, therapy can help give you the self-awareness to build a social life that does not drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's online. The design, awesome. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. What you do is you fill out a brief questionnaire. They'll match you with a licensed therapist. And, you know, if for some reason you and the therapist are like, I'm not feeling it, you know, you can switch. No additional charge. You just switch. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DCN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DCN. Visit BetterHelp.com/DCN today. Get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DCN. Charge those batteries. If you like what I do here, you can buy me a coffee at BuyMeACoffee.com/DailyComedyNews. Kenny did just that. Now, Kenny, a direct shout out to you. Kenny had suggested I go to the National Coffee chain, the one with the green logo, and try one of their products. Haven't forgotten you, buddy. Haven't had a chance to do it. I'm planning on going there with a portable recorder and capturing the moment on audio. Haven't had a chance yet, but buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. One of the reasons is I've been trying to process all the episodes of my casual travel podcast, which is called Travel Is Back. New episode out today. This one is the last of the basement episodes, as I call them, where I'm doing recollections of my time in places that I've been and what I like to do when I'm there. Today's episode is 6 hours in Biarritz, France. Biarritz, France is down near the Spain border. It is a resort town. It has my personally ranked third best beach in the world. I had an awesome time there, but I was only there for 6 hours. Now, starting next week, I'm excited because the true vision of the show would be me taking the portable recorder places, and I did just that when I was recently out west in Nevada. So there'll be a run of 6 or 7 episodes where I'm on the Las Vegas Strip, and I'm at the various national parks, and Hoover Dam, and Death Valley, and Zion National Park. So I'm really excited about those upcoming episodes. But that's what I've been doing when I'm not doing the comedy podcast. I've been putting those together. And, you know, it takes a little bit of time, so travel is back wherever you get your shows. Variety did a fluff piece with the Kardashians, just like the Amy Schumer fluff piece disguised as article. Same thing, Variety bagged the Kardashians. They're promoting their new show on Hulu. Hulu's PR people are getting a raise this week, I'll tell you that. So the Kardashians have a new show. Who cares? Is Pete Davidson going to be on it? Kim says, I have not filmed with him. I'm not opposed to it. It's just not what he does. But if there was an event happening and he was there, he wouldn't tell the cameras to get away. I think I might film something really exciting coming, but it wouldn't be for this season. Cool, now I don't have to watch. Giant Freakin' Robot is a website, and they recapped a recent episode of Joe Rogan. What caught my eye was the headline about them goofing on The Rock. Giant Freakin' Robot writes, Rogan recently took to his podcast to joke about Dwayne Johnson being able to make $60 million as a sperm donor. There was a video embedded. I watched it. The gist of the joke was that somebody like The Rock or a hypothetically divorced Barack Obama could get a lot of money as sperm donors. Basic premise was okay, but Rogan and the guys in the room just devolved into lowbrow, lame humor like your friends in fifth grade would do. Like, yeah, man, I bet Obama could get a lot for his bleep. It was just, it was bad. Joe Rogan was bad. It was bad. Taylor Tomlinson did an AMA. One of the questions, hey, Taylor Tomlinson, I was at your show in Atlantic City in February. It was amazing. My face hurt afterward for laughing so much. I was wondering why you just walk off the stage and don't let the crowd give you applause after the show. Taylor said, ha ha, I think it would be kind of weird to just like stand there waiting for applause. No, they applaud as I leave, which I appreciate. I don't need to make everybody feel as if they owe me more applause. I have shared that AMA on the Daily Comedy News subreddit, which is called Daily Comedy News. While I'm hating on things today, I was catching up on the It's Always Sunny podcast. They need a producer. That thing is all over the place. It's guys talking all over each other. Again, I have expertise in podcast producing. You might think this podcast, which I host myself, sucks, but my body of work is solid. And yeah, they're just talking over each other and unfocused. The podcast ostensibly is recapping the episodes and the guy's memories of it. It has nothing to do with that. The episode that I'm hating on in particular was they took open phone calls and was just all over the place. I also feel like Glenn doesn't want to do the podcast. Charlie Day seems to enjoy it. Rob might enjoy it. Glenn doesn't want to be there at all. And from Time Out New York, want to bring your dog to a comedy night? Hit Boris and Horton for Must Love Dogs and Comedy. Dogs of all sizes and colors are prancing around, tails wagging, as their owners chit-chat happily to the other canine comrades. Meanwhile, you're trying to do your comedy act. Anyone is welcome to bring their dog to the show as long as they get along with others. Now, does the dog have to get along with others, or do the humans have to get along with others? Shouldn't have used a pronoun there, Time Out New York. Might sound disruptive, but the ensuing performances are enhanced and even made better with furry friends around. They may not be the subject of the show, but comedians often incorporate them into their jokes. Again, you're using too many pronouns. You need to use the word dogs here. And play off their barks and whines. Sometimes they, meaning the dogs, sigh at the perfect time or demand pets for the performer. Why are you nitpicking the pronouns? For clarity, you ever notice when I read an article, instead of saying, say, Amy for the third time, I will say the full Amy Schumer every time? There's a reason I do that. One of the insiders says, when you think of traditional stand-up, you think of a crowded space that's dark and you're sitting and watching comedians perform. In every sense of the way, this show is different. It's bright in there, so the performers are shocked to see the audience. When you come into the space, it's so joyous and happy. I tell performers, it's hard to bomb because everybody's just smiling at dogs. Each show raises funds for local animal shelters like Muddy Paws Rescue. And that is your comedy news for today. All right, if you want to comment on any of this, was I too hard on Amy Schumer? Facebook group is Daily Comedy News Podcast Group. The subreddit is Daily Comedy News. There's also an Instagram at Daily Comedy News. New episode of Travel is back out today wherever you get your shows. buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You know where to follow the show. See you tomorrow.
In the next episode of the Hitmaker Chronicles podcast, we dive deep into Noah Kahan's Stick Season, a poignant and introspective indie folk masterpiece. We explore the song's themes of hometown nostalgia, the passage of time, and the struggle to reconcile the past with the present. Through a detailed analysis of the lyrics, music, and cultural impact, we uncover how Stick Season resonates with listeners on a profoundly personal level. Follow the Hitmaker Chronicles wherever you get your podcasts.
Some call him the Taylor Swift of soccer. Follow the ultimate spectacle with the Messi effect. Step into the star-studded world of superstar Lionel Messi as we dive into the glitz, glamour, and game-changing impact he's bringing to American soccer. From jaw-dropping goals to all the off-field glitz and intrigue, we've got your all-access pass to the hottest show in town. Whether you're a diehard fan or just love a good Hollywood story, join us for the ride of a lifetime as Messi brings American soccer to new heights. Follow the Messi Effect and see if Messi can pull off an American championship. The Messi Effect, available wherever you get your podcasts.